Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve, available for weddings and bar mitzvahs.
I'm Robin Gallagher, and I've got a big truck.
And I'm Mark Derrick at the Uncouth Mountain Man.
Uncouth! You are unkempt with that big beard. You're like, what's his name? Perry, with your beard on and offness.
He's a rugby guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I guess. Good old Perry Weepu.
He was playing a little game this weekend?
That's right. Well, yes, that's right. He was playing a game, and that's why I think he's better than a lot of the other players, because he has fun while he does it. Apparently. Not that I know a great deal about rugby psychology, but there you go.
I'm going to tell you, I've still, for this whole competition, seen not a single minute of rugby.
How can you not have watched?
The only footage I've seen from the Rugby World Cup is the bit where Sonny Bill Williams' shirt came off because I was like, what the fuck? Oh, yeah, okay, I see.
I've seen the opening ceremony and the opening game. That's it.
That was not the best game by far.
I watched the opening ceremony, but not the game.
I haven't seen anything.
What? So I'm the sports guy here.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Come on. You should talk about it.
But I'm not even a sports guy. This is insanity. You people, don't you know how exciting some of those games have been?
I will watch the final game probably if New Zealand's playing, maybe.
Right.
And then we can talk about it. And I'll be like, yeah, what about that thing where the ball got put on the bit of the grass past the line?
What about our local sports team, eh? It beat that visiting sports team. The Warriors. The Warriors that lost.
That's about the extent of my rugby knowledge.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's not even rugby. League is bullshit.
No, look, league is a type of rugby, isn't it?
Those tight little shorts, I can't take it seriously. It's like the shirts in Aussie Rules, can't take it seriously.
Yeah, look, well, here's the thing. You can't take any of Aussie Rules seriously.
There's punch passes? No, thank you.
I think if ever you look at league and go, well, this is a silly game, just watch a game of Aussie Rules and then go, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It's all exciting, though. All sport, actually, you know, if you're in the right frame of mind, you can watch a game of golf and be like, wow, that was good.
Yeah, I suppose.
You guys are slaking off Aussie Rules, but some of those guys look really fit in those uniforms.
I'm sure they do, but the game is fucking mental.
So, Aussie Rules, it's for the ladies?
It's for the ladies.
Ladies and connoisseurs of pies.
And this one's for the fellas.
Oh, that would be so good, actually.
Yeah.
Having a pie.
A pie
you
float?
Go to the MCG, watch a game of Aussie Rules and have a meat pie.
That would be actually really good, with some gravy and some mushy peas.
Do you know what I didn't find? The times I've been to Australia, their pie culture is sadly lacking.
It's a bit like New Zealand, really. We don't have those, pie carts.
Oh, no, we don't have that. But, I mean, like, at least, you know, you get a pie. You go to a bakery in New Zealand, you get a good range of pies. There's a variety. Most bakeries will do, you know, some sort of fancy pie, even if we bring the line down to pepper steak or something. But, you know, or curried mince.
Oh, yeah, Mountain Bakery Thai chicken. Oh, it's so good.
Is that the green
one?
Green bakery.
Yeah, the Green Bakery.
I had a pie from there like a couple of months ago. I did not like it.
Oh, well, of course, I haven't been there for a long time, so who knows?
Yeah, the place has changed anyway.
Once upon a time, we are losing people out of the chat room like you wouldn't believe. I think they don't like us talking about
sports and everyone.
No, you motherfucker, you're talking about pies.
It was in programming.
Actually, it was while we were talking about sports, to be fair.
Yeah, there you go. It's a comedy podcast. We should tell a joke.
It's just a conversation, really. Let's not try and put ourselves in any particular cubby hole. So Ben's not here this week. He's busy or whatever. Maybe he's quit. Maybe he was fired. But, you know, he's quit and been fired before.
We banned him.
And then he wouldn't stop hanging around. So, you know, we let him back on the show again. He'll be back. He's busy. He's doing some kind of party or something. Ashley Mark's probably into his little party. What's it called? Code Mania 2012, I think. Little conference.
I've looked at the lineup, and so far, I am so bored.
I recognize two of the names, and they're really, really good speakers. I don't know. Maybe I'll go anyway, because it's cheap, and I want to support Ben's thing. Let's not say it's boring. Anyway, let's not forget that the most exciting stuff about most conferences is not necessarily the speakers. It's the conversation that you have with the people that are also there. And I know that was true of Web09, which is the last serious Auckland conference I went to.
And Webstock.
And Webstock, well, Webstock to a lesser extent, because the speakers there are so friggin' good that you get value out of both. But most conferences, I would say the vast preponderance of conferences, the actual speakers are the least good part. And the best part is standing around with a coffee.
That's why things like barcamps and open spaces work best. I think it's the whole thing is a corridor.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But you don't... Yeah. Okay. Well. Next, because we don't want to. I think everyone should go to Code Mania. Everyone who's a coder should go to Code Mania. Let's just say that. Leave it at that. Yeah. So last week, corned beef, ladies and gentlemen, haven't had any complaints about that. I'm amazed.
Why haven't we released it as a single? I just assumed it would be on iTunes by now.
Sell it on iTunes.
Yeah, for 99 cents or whatever.
I'd like a remix.
I was going to do was make a CD and give that away for Christmas. But putting it on iTunes, that's hilarious. Oh my god!
It's not long enough though.
What do you mean it's not long enough?
It needs to be longer. We need to have an extended dance mix.
Well, obviously we should all get together in the studio, Studio 1A, and record the proper released version.
Yep.
I mean, everyone obviously will be trading the bootleg live version, but, you know, it's not
the
same.
We basically need a banging club hit that will get the girls on the dance floor.
Yeah, that's it. A little corned beef. Digging on some corned beef.
There is a long and storied history of songs that are, you know, named after a maybe it's mainly dancers. The mashed potato.
Did you think we were just gonna break into one?
The ketchup song.
No, I thought we were just gonna name songs named after tinned meats, but we're making it wider than that.
Spam. It's this.
It's the spam song.
And the Monty Python spam song. I think it just goes spam.
Let's not do that, guys.
Let's not do that. Okay.
That's spam, baby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. Anyway.
We're being egged on by the chat room, but I think that we owe it to... Oh, shit. I've left something on. There we go. Oopsie. Might have given away a secret just there. that no one had gotten to. So what else is happening? So probably last week, you know, you might have expected the show to be called, I mean, not that anyone pays attention to the show titles, but 218 rightly should have been called Corned Beef, but instead was called Happy Birthday. But, you know, so there you go, whatever. no one gives a shit. So the election special, Dylan, which hopefully people are excited about, because I'm excited about, it's progressing amazingly well. We've been talking with various suppliers, and we're actually getting a really positive and exciting response. And I think this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, we're niche, so we can't sell them on the idea that their product is going to be exposed to a mass audience. But what we can sell them on the idea of is it's original, creative, and an interesting project.
That's right.
And there you go. And I'm going to write an article about it for a popular, very well read video production website. So, you know.
Oh, cool. You're talking about Creative Cow.
Yeah, it's the one.
Is it a secret that it's called Creative Car? Because you were
I wasn't going to name it because it's, you know, it's obscure-ish. I don't know.
Well, Leighton's just asked who's on board, which, you know, that's a... In terms of people that we're going to be speaking to, we've got various politics academics nailed down. Other people we haven't nailed down yet because we're still 7 weeks out. So various of the bigger names don't know what they're going to be doing. Probably are going to be doing big media stuff.
What we did for the show that I did in 2005 for the election year, managed to get the phone number of a couple of politicians and actually talk to them. So maybe we might try that. Get it, you know, see if I can grab a few numbers, call them, talk to them.
Yeah.
Because that's always good as well. You know, just have a quick phoner with a poly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can get.
Gonna do lots of that.
Maybe we can. Well, I was just. Maybe we can engage in a tweet battle with Tau Henry on air or something.
Toe. I don't know.
You're gonna read out tweets.
Tweets will be displayed on screen. That's one thing we'll be doing.
One of the many things we'll be doing. Yeah, we've got heaps of cool technology
not
going on, Robin.
Not automatically, so you can't just put porn links and dirty words on the screen.
Don't move the screen.
Are you gonna have a live studio audience?
The studio is not large, so yes, but they'll be, you know, doing things like operating cameras.
Yeah, the living room in the penthouse is a fairly large living room for an apartment, but it's not a very large room for a studio. So, you know.
Do it from the courtyard.
No. What courtyard?
It would live cross to the courtyard. Apparently,
from the tennis court.
The chat room seems to believe there's some sort of topical issues we should be talking about. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. I mean, nothing's happened this week anyway, really.
Nothing important to technology.
Issues.
No, nothing big. So the person who asked who we were going to be having on was Leighton. And Leighton, we could probably have you on, actually. I don't know, maybe.
And I've someone got a little bit of support from... if you're ever wanting to buy anything like, you know, video production hardware or software, I recommend DVT in Auckland.
Go to dvt.co.nz.
Use. So, you know, good blokes. DVT. Yeah.
I should probably check what their domain name is before saying it.
It's just dvt.co.nz, I think. But, you know, whatever. Maybe that's porn. I'm not sure.
Yep, go to dvt.co.nz if you are doing some high-end.
Even lower end, they sell a range of software for middle to
50% off Adobe Premiere, Adobe Premiere Pro CS 5.5 and Production Premium CS 5.5. That's a pretty good discount. That seems quite nice. Don't use Adobe very much though, personally. Okay, what are we doing next?
I don't know.
Who wants to do some fast fives? Who's going first?
I've got three.
Three.
Oh, good. We start with me. Okay, hang on.
Fast five.
I should do that first, and then
three.
Oh, I've got to get the links now. Okay.
You're so unprepared.
I had to switch Windows. It's quite hard.
Yeah, you've got like 45 seconds left now. You should.
Yeah. Okay.
Three.
So, IBM study has said that we should not sort emails into folders. That's stupid, you idiots. You should just keep them all in one place and search for them when you need them. Which makes sense to me because I don't really put my emails in folders. I see some people I've worked with have, you know, massive folders full of emails, and then they have, oh, well, it should be in this folder because, you know, it's related to this, so I should have filed it. Oh, no, it's not there. Oh, I don't know how to find it. And then they try searching for it, and they don't know what they're searching for, and they have to search all their folders, and it takes ages. Just search every... Just, I don't know.
So was that sponsored by Gmail?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. The Outlook... Well, I don't think so because IBM did it, so it's... Probably something.
The only reason you have to use folders in Outlook is because the search is so shit.
Yes, that was the thing. I use Outlook at work, and the search, God, it's so slow and so frustrating compared to searching on Gmail. IBM makes Lotus Notes, I guess, so they're probably talking about notes in their scenario.
Which is probably even worse.
Although, you think they wouldn't release such a thing if that were the case? So I don't know, there's a story about that. Yep.
I agree with that. And letting computers do your searching for you and do tagging, if not putting things in folders, I think tags help, you know, so you can see at a glance if there's multiple results in results from a search. Same thing with, I mean, looking through an inbox maybe is similar to looking down a page for a particular piece of content. Let the friggin' computer do the searching for you.
Well, the other thing I find about looking through my inbox for email sometimes is that I sort of remember emails contextually sometimes. So I can remember what emails I was reading around the same time. So I might spot them easier. Might find them easier to find than the actual one I'm looking for some reason. So sometimes I do that. I search for an email that I know I was reading at a similar kind of time and then look from there. Anyway, next one.
Yeah, we're getting shit from the chat room about talking about Outlook. I've got to stop looking at that thing. In fact, I'm not even looking at that tab anymore, motherfuckers. So there you go. That's what you get.
Apple Mail.
Anyway, so...
Two.
Hotmail.
There's this dude on the internet and the radio and shit. His name's called Bomber.
He's on the TV as well. He's got a show on Stratos.
I don't think that counts. Anyway, he goes on... He went on the panel on Radio New Zealand sometimes and apparently said some things they didn't like. And got banned. Of course, it's turned into a bit of a he said, she said thing because they say, oh, it wasn't like he said it was, and he got banned for defamation. And he says, no, they banned me because I was too hard on the government, and they have told me it was a lifetime ban on all Radio New Zealand shows. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah, whereas Radio New Zealand are now saying it's not banned from Radio New Zealand, it's just being just the panel, the show that he was on.
Yeah, and he's not just, we're just not going to invite him as a participant anymore.
Which probably realistically is more what it would be about. I mean, any other, you know, maybe, I don't know, would he ever be on 9 to Noon anyway?
I mean, I suppose that is essentially banning him from Radio New Zealand. But I mean, I listened to it. I don't know. I've held the opinion that Bomber's a bit of a dick for quite some time. His opinion's sometimes all right and sometimes are stupid. I thought the thing he said was a bit over the top. I don't know. I mean, you don't get invited back if you
15 minutes.
If you breach some guideline, even if it's not very popular, you know, you piss off the people who are inviting you to the thing and they don't invite you anymore. They could have probably handled it a lot better and just said, you know,
just not said anything. Guys.
Well, the entire problem is how they handled
stop calling
it.
Them.
The problem isn't what he said.
Anything Paul Henry's ever said?
Oh, look, it's context, and who knows? I mean, you can't compare these things objectively. They're not judged objectively. Someone has made a decision that something he said was unacceptable for whatever reason. I don't think it was specifically because he was criticizing the government. I think it's probably just the way he phrased it all and the vitriol he seemed to use.
And that's Bomber's style, the very bombastic
that's
delivery.
The it is. And he's like that on the show usually as well. But I guess just for whatever reason he went over. I don't know. It'll probably all be forgotten in a while, and I'm sure he'll end up on the panel again eventually because he's reasonably high profile for that sort of thing.
All it takes is just some producer, a new person comes along and goes, hey, that Bomber guy, he'd be cool to have on the show. And it gets forgotten. I don't know. Actually, maybe Radio New Zealand is the sort of organisation where everyone stays around for years because there's no other
memory.
There's no alternative, so everyone hangs on to their jobs.
Yeah, maybe. There you go. So that's that. And the other one was where is it?
Let me add one more thing about Bomber, okay. Because you didn't really apparently read it or understand the nuance of the whole thing. But he has actually written an update on Tumeke. blogspot.com, which is his blog.
I read that today.
Did you read the update?
I think so.
Maybe you did. Maybe you did, but you didn't make any reference to it. Okay. He says, on a final note, can I say that in the reading of many of the comments posted throughout the blogs, I have noted a certain annoyance from some at my style. In the past, I have enjoyed the fight with the right more than the actual point at times and have allowed myself to throw rhetoric around for the fun of it. This experience and the surprising show of support has made me appreciate the role that I have as a commentator and a media dominated by bland baby boomer pundits and hard right-wing opinion masquerading as middle-of-the-road New Zealand. In the future, I will endeavour to take that media role on with the responsibility it demands. I'm not suggesting I will put away my stomping boots, but I will be a lot more focused about what I'm stomping. Again, my humble thanks and gratitude for the incredible show of support from my whānau and from people I've never met who were disgusted by my banning. I mean, he recognises that maybe his tone has been a bit inappropriate given his
specifically for me.
Yeah,
the thing was the bit where I found it distasteful where he suggested that the government gave MediaWorks $43 million, so MediaWorks let the Prime Minister go on air for an hour. I mean, it's a ridiculous simplification and hyperbole, and I just thought from that point onwards, I was just like, this is stupid, you dick. Whether or not that's the thing that stood out for other people as well, I don't know. But that's the sort of.
It's a bit of a student media conspiracy theory, the sort of thing. Well, you know, that is his background. That, you know, or just the sort of, I'm young and I'm angry and I haven't really thought this through.
I'm surprised that you're both being so easy on MediaWorks and John Key about the whole thing. I think it was illegal electioneering, and I think that there is something dodgy in the relationship.
That is a separate issue. I mean,
that's what he spoke about. That's what he spoke about in his diatribe on the radio. So you can say that his tone might not be great, and you can say that maybe Radio New Zealand didn't want him just to read out a blog post he'd already published. And that's
was.
Yeah, that's right. That is. Those are both fair points. But I mean, if they're saying that he may have been libelous or defamatory, I can never remember which is for companies and which is for people.
They said he might be defamatory.
The thing about defaming someone is that telling the truth isn't defamation. It can't be. That is the number one defense against defamation.
Yeah. No. I mean. Well, we should talk about the larger issue in the XL, I reckon, because we could talk about it for a while. But I think there's some weird. It was a strange decision on RadioWorks' part. They can kind of justify it, and you know it doesn't qualify as electioneering. It's not like we don't know who the Prime Minister is, but it's just the whole for everyone involved. It was just a very weird choice.
Not quite as badly handled by RadioWorks as. That was funny. Don't say my name in the chat room. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. Fuck, I've got to turn down the volume of that thing now. Turns out if you say my name in the chat room...
say my name.
Nope. Sorry, guys. It's now been muted. What was I saying?
Don't know.
Oh, the people who mishandled it worst is Radio New Zealand, whoever the executive producer was, that told him that he was banned for life for saying what he said, is an idiot. What a tool. Don't take the call. Don't phone him back. Just put him on the shit list and say nothing more about it. You don't need to go on the record.
That he raised, like, was, you know, some people in the comments had apparently suggested that maybe John Key's office was involved. But, of course, that wasn't the case. Well, his point was that probably wasn't the case, or, you know, he never would have heard about it. He just would have not gone on the show.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, I'm surprised that didn't happen, frankly. But anyway, because, you know, usually
finish off.
Yeah, usually producers don't call people and tell them they're banned. They just don't call them anymore.
No, exactly. And that would have been a far better way to handle it. Just silence. He wouldn't have known for months. He would have, in 3 months, he would have been like, huh, I haven't been on the radio very often lately. I wonder what that's about. And then that would have been that. There would have been no blog post and there would have been no shitstorm.
So I wonder if there was something personal going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might have been as well. There might have been a larger difference of opinion involved somewhere.
And just one last thing. As Russell Brown pointed out on public address in his post about this, what's his name? Jim Mora completely mishandled.
Yeah.
Mishandled kind of redirecting the end of the diatribe or trying to add any balance in by trying to talk about cats. And ignoring,
yeah, he just kind of stuck on something to make it light, to kind of make it, you know, we're all having a laugh instead of actually, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Next story.
Next story. Apparently, some people in some prisons like to get drunk. I know it's shocking.
No.
Turns out you can't buy booze in a prison.
Hey.
But at what prison was it? Is it? Oh, I flicked away now. Is it Rolleston Prison? It was in Christchurch anyway. Prison in Christchurch, right? Apparently, they've been giving a hand sanitizer because Christchurch is dirty. Apparently, earthquakey thing. They had hand sanitizer in this prison, and it turns out that prisoners have determined that by adding sugar-based products such as Raro fruit drink, hand sanitizers can be turned into powerful homebrew.
Which
sounds both very ingenious and awfully disgusting.
You say ingenious, but have you heard of Pruno?
I've heard of Pruno.
I have heard of Pruno. I'm much more impressed with that.
Have you tried Pruno?
Of course I have not tried Pruno. I have not been in prison.
It's basically you get orange juice, tomato sauce, and sugar, lots of sugar, and you put it in a bag, put the bag somewhere warm, and then sooner or later it turns into alcohol or something vaguely resembling it.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
It is. And a guy I know made some and tried some and just felt really sick but didn't really get drunk.
No surprises
apparently
there.
When you're in prison and you really want to get drunk,
you find a way.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, got drunk. Ha ha. Great. Anyway, I did wonder if by describing this use of well, in fact, I'm certain now that having described this method of making alcohol, kind of, from hand sanitizer and
fruit drink
powder, that now there'll be people, dumb, ass, idiot, little teenagers trying to replicate the stunt. And I imagine it could be, in fact, very dangerous.
I think there's probably easier ways to get drunk at any age than drinking hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Do they need a license for alcohol?
Yes.
What? To sell hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
No. Clearly not. But I think
Though. Very well made.
If you were to bottle your hand sanitizer and Raro drink, you would need a license for it to sell that.
Five.
Steve Jobs.
Aww.
Can we talk about this? This was actually...
I think some of this is going to go in the Excel.
Do you want to do just the whole thing in the Excel?
No, let's just cover it.
All right. Let's cover it like The Onion.
Oh, God, that was awesome.
Apple user acting like his dad just died. Boston. Calling the death a tragic loss and saying he was truly devastated by the news, self-described Apple product loyalist Eric Cavanna is treating the passing of the company's former CEO, Steve Jobs, as if his fucking dad just died. Sources confirmed Thursday, "I can't believe it," said Cavanna, 28, wearing a saddened expression that would make you think he was mourning the loss of his 61-year-old father, Jack, and not a complete goddamn stranger. "He meant a lot to me and I'll miss him. I think I might send an email to rememberingsteve@apple.com instead of contacting the man he hasn't talked to in a month, who helped him with his homework, paid his college tuition, and had supported him throughout his entire life, loving him unconditionally despite his myriad fuck-ups." At press time, Cavanna reportedly needs to get his fucking priorities straight. Hey, good timing.
4.
What are my other stories? Key pleads innocent over ratings claim. Prime Minister John Key insists he has not misled Parliament over comments he made about the ratings agency Standard & Poor's. Key told Parliament last week that Standard & Poor's was at a meeting in New Zealand about a month ago, and it did go on to say, though, that if there was a change of government, that the downgrade would be much more likely. Basically, Key said that if New Zealand elected a Labour government, Standard & Poor's had said that they would downgrade our ratings, our credit rating. And now he's admitted that that's complete fucking bollocks. Standard & Poor's have specifically said that they said no such thing at any time. And Key admits that a mate of his that was in a meeting, quote, inferred that opinion. And now this has led to Twitter having a bit of fun with something called Keylines, which is quite a good little hashtag. My favourite, well, there's a whole lot of good ones, but Russell Brown's one. Too many mentions of Russell Brown. John Key heard from somebody that if Labour were in government, kittens would be twice as likely to die.
You know, my dad asked me what I thought of John Key, and we were talking about him, and Dad said, he just sounds like a bit of a party boy.
Yeah.
I think that's so true.
Morgan, I don't want kittens to die.
Me neither. Yeah, you'd better. To be safe, maybe you could vote for Christian Heritage just to be doubly sure.
Excellent. Is that good, Graham Capel back out of prison and in charge of them again?
Graham Capel's out of prison, but Christian Heritage, I think, might not exist anymore. Oh, David Farah posted a list of all of the registered parties a couple of weeks ago. And I
have one of those.
I don't remember if it was on there.
There's a lot.
England rugby team, just what the fuck is your problem? What do you think you're doing?
You've been hitting the head a bit too much.
I want to know. Every other team... Well, there was one All Blacks player who's been in a bit of trouble for having a couple of beers and a smoke. English rugby rugby team are off on the piss. They're acting like rock stars, not athletes.
No, they're off acting womanizing like a school on a school trip, and you're like they've got.
Oh yeah, right. They're the school rugby team, and they've travelled like, to Wales.
And just like no one can tell me I can't get drunk. I'm gonna have some.
I'm gonna jump off this boat.
Yeah.
Are you guys aware that with Fast Fives we each get a turn?
No.
No. It's my turn now. They're just being dicks.
It's not your turn. It's my turn. I'm on number 3. I'm starting your game because of that.
3.
Even though I haven't got another whole minute on this story. So they, number one, Captain Mike Tindall, who only just married into the royal fucking family. Actually, is it really the royal family? Zara Phillips, anyway, I guess. Yeah. Queen's granddaughter, that's how she's described. 6 weeks ago, he married her. Queenstown, he's with an ex-girlfriend in a bar. She kissing him. I didn't see her kissing him on the mouth, but on the head, certainly.
Family friend.
Sort of canoodling. Yeah, well, they've admitted that she's not a family friend, that she's an ex-girlfriend. And then later on, we get several England players. They definitely didn't rape anyone that we've heard about. But they... probably were pretty close to it with a Dunedin hotel worker who they accosted and filmed while they were verbally harassing her anyway, which is, you know, only a step away from, you know, these pissed thugs going even further too far. And
to be fair, they didn't do it. So just be careful.
Who didn't do it?
They didn't rape her.
No, they didn't rape her. I said that they didn't. I said that they were a step away from it.
I know, but, you know, that's a big line to cross. And they're on the good side of it so far.
They sexually harassed her. They accosted her.
On the raping side.
Yeah.
But I didn't say that they raped her.
I know.
Corrections.
Robin telling me that I should say that they didn't rape her. I thought I was pretty clear that they didn't rape her.
I know, corrections. You were. But I think you were implying that because they came close... We'll just say canola instead of rape.
Are you my fucking lawyer now?
Yeah.
I probably need one, to be fair.
Probably do. You need like TVNZ with, no, I wouldn't say.
I wonder who you're talking about.
Yay!
This definitely isn't a bummer, Robin.
Sorry.
Not quite sure what your point is now.
I think
just kind of bumming the whole thing out. I didn't say that they were rapists.
I said they were rapists.
Well.
Oh, God.
I thought it was quite clear.
Stop. I think the point was that you said they almost raped her, as if perhaps that would have happened had something not intervened. So we should make it clear that there was no. It's not obviously that they were necessarily going to rape her.
They were just dicks. Basically.
I don't think I said that either.
Sexually rude dicks. Yes.
They were being physically aggressive, sexually suggestive. I would go even further than just saying suggestive. And I think they freaked this woman out. I think three very large, drunk, thuggish buffheads would be quite frightening for a woman. Even if no penises were actually exposed at any point, I think it was probably quite terrifying for her. I didn't say that they raped her. Anyway, the point is that they're a pack of fucking dickheads. And I think that they are still dickheads. Have you got any problem with me saying that, Robin?
No, because I think...
They're dickheads, it's fine.
They were dickheads. There is no doubt that they were dickheads.
Anyway, the ultimate comeuppance of the whole thing is that the dickheads got their asses handed to them and they're out of the cup. They played pretty variably. And fuck them. If you're not going to take your job as a... I mean, they play a game for a job and all they've got to do is show a little bit of restraint and train and treat their bodies, you know, like the tools of their business. But they couldn't even do that for a few weeks. So they just boozed around the country womanizing. Are you going to say that they weren't womanizing, Robin?
No, I think that's very accurate. And if we had a budget, we could play the Britney song just to get the point home.
And so now they're out. One of their players, the last thing, I guess right before they went to the goddamn airport and got the fuck out of our country, was one of their players jumped off the ferry and got a massive fine and was, I don't know if he was actually arrested, but he was taken in by the police after doing it.
I think he was issued a formal warning.
Right. What a pack of wallies.
To be fair, I have wanted to jump off the ferry.
Yeah.
Although I'd never wanted to jump off in Auckland Harbour. That's strange to me. But the other way, going to Devonport and wanting to jump off in Devonport, that would be cool. Just as you get into Devonport, you could jump off and swim to that little beach.
I think they had heard from Durex and so on that New Zealand was a great place to go for a route. And I think they're probably right about that. But maybe they should have waited till after they were already out of the tournament. That might have been a good idea. What number was that?
Two.
Let's say two.
Yeah, I think, okay.
What's my next one? Oh my God, this is incredible. Anaheim Union High School District has killed a controversial incentive program that assigns students color-coded ID cards and planners based on state test scores. And they also required those who performed poorly to stand in a separate lunch line and awarded the others with discounts.
The fuck?
So basically, good students and bad students were immediately visually identifiable. Good students had cheaper food. Bad students had to go into a long line. And so like the nerds were, here's my gold card. I don't know what colours they were. Here's my gold friggin' ID card, which you can see on me. And the useless, you know, the sports players or whatever, had the brown cards. Seems like a recipe for disaster, doesn't it? Anyway,
it does seem like further increasing lines of division between social groups. Sounds like an excellent idea.
They claimed that the program was designed to urge students to raise scores on this state standards test. But unfortunately, it also raised concern among parents and students who said it illegally revealed test scores and embarrassed those who didn't do well. I don't have a problem with embarrassing people who don't do well, but this seems like it went quite a lot too far.
It's like the that Stanford prison experiment. Yeah. You just put people in groups and suddenly they start attacking the enemy just because it's there.
Yep. Yep. If you make it us and them rather than us, that's a problem. Yeah.
Well, especially when there's already us and them there, and if you make the us and them thing worse by introducing, you know, differences in the way people are treated or how much they pay for their lunch, then that's just going to make it, you know, incite the resent between the groups.
One.
Robin, are you going to go all lawyery if I call someone an amputee?
Do they have
Do I have to give them a different name?
Or body part missing?
Yes.
Okay, good, go.
This is the latest. It's been a long time since we last had one of these. We've got another world's fastest something. And what this fastest is the fastest amputee swimmer across Cook Strait, which I think is brilliant. It's 26 kilometres. None of us could do it, and we've all got two legs. This dude, one leg, I don't know how many eggs, 10-degree water, 8 hours, 26 kilometres. I think that the ferry's taken longer than 8 hours at some points.
I could do that.
No, you couldn't.
I could do that.
You would drown in a minute.
One hand tied behind my back.
You would start crying, Dylan. And you would stop. You'd have to tweet halfway through.
Okay, well, it's okay because my phone is waterproof. So, fuck you.
I'll just sink.
Okay, yeah. you've got a Motorola Defy.
A Motorola Defy.
Yeah.
I can't actually use it in the water, but it doesn't. It's water resistant.
So this chap, his name is Salvatore Cimino. I don't actually know how to pronounce his surname. It's probably Che. He's Italian. Che or Che? Cimino, it might be. Who knows? Who cares?
Cimino.
And good for him. He started at Makata Beach and he arrived in Pirano Bay. I don't know how I should pronounce Pirano Bay. Pirano? I don't know. There's no accents on it and I don't know where the what language it's from. In the Marlborough Sounds. Bloody impressive. Actually, no, I tell a lie. I said 8 hours. It was 8 hours and 18 minutes. What a slow, useless, bloody cripple.
Oh, what a fucking cripple.
Get him out of this country. He's worse than English rugby players. Well, that's the last of my stories. Who else has got stories? Robin, have you got any?
Robin's got nothing. She's got a big, fat, empty bullet point by her name.
She's
Fast Zero.
Fast Zero. Mark, how many have you got?
I can tell you that Pirano Bay was named after Joseph August Pirano.
Oh, that's good. So I don't need to put any special accents on it.
Italian extraction.
Pirano! Oh, Pirano! Yeah, all right. Okay. That'll do. Mark, how many stories do you want to do?
Small ones.
Do you want to do five?
Five.
Five. So I've just been feeling really old this week. And last week, Nirvana Nevermind was their 20th anniversary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, I remember that coming out. Oh. Slayer's Random Blood was 25 last week as well.
I don't even know what that is.
music that you don't like.
Band Slayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. And, oh, yeah, wow, that makes me feel really old because I remember when that came out.
And Acton Baby by U2 is 20
Acton
as well.
Acton Baby.
And they're doing a tribute album as a re-recording, which is just horrible.
So wait, U2 is releasing a tribute album to their own album?
Well, they're re-recording it with guest singers.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, because like, it's not like they don't have a good singer.
What are they called? Tenacious D? This is not the greatest song. This is not their whatever song in the world. This is just tribute. A tribute to the greatest song in the world. That's what it is?
Yes.
All right. Let's kill...
That'd be quite good, actually, if they just sung songs about their songs. I'd buy that album.
Mark?
Four.
So, Mikey Welsh, the ex-Weezer bass player, was found dead this morning at the age of 40.
Not this morning.
This is such a weird story.
This morning when I read the article, yes. At the exact time and place that he predicted on Twitter about 2 weeks ago.
That's bizarre. Yeah,
that's weird, eh?
Yeah.
So
do you think he killed himself?
Well, that's the thing. Did he kill himself or is it natural death and he somehow had some sort of psychic premonition?
But apparently it was a drug overdose. Possibly.
Given that there's no such thing as psychic premonition, he killed himself.
His predictive tweet on September the 26th, he wrote,
"Dreamed I died." Predictive tweet, you're not saying that it had some sort of spelling mistake made because he was typing with...
Yes, it was hilarious. He said he wrote anal when he meant dick. "Dreamt I died in Chicago next weekend. Heart attack in my sleep. Need to write my will today." Then, before adding, correction, the weekend after next.
Yeah, I think it's incredible.
To be fair, I want to know, the first thing that occurred to me when I read that, to be honest, when I read that tweet was, did he write his will?
Oh.
I hope so.
How seriously did he take his premonition?
He's previously attempted suicide.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, interesting.
Mark!
Three.
Yep. So last week was Java 1, big Java development conference, and nothing good came out of it apart from the Java Life rap music video.
Oh.
Or nerdcore at its worst.
Oh.
Musical genre that I just can't get into.
You know, I can't even be bothered clicking on that link. I'm just not going to.
Good, good. Google Dart. Google released their new language.
He's jumped to another one. This is
okay.
Three.
three. I'm going to skip one. And
all right. Well, you've got to let me. You've at least got to let me do that.
Oh, two. Okay.
Okay. Two, three, two.
One.
One.
I already did it.
Okay. Go. So Google Dart. JavaScript is dead.
I don't believe that. JavaScript is used in so many places and so many projects.
And they'll change. Because Google know you says can, so.
Do you know you can write write scripts for Photoshop in JavaScript? Did you know that?
That is insane.
There you go. Can you do that in Google Dart, Mark? Can you?
I don't know. Actually, you can because Google Dart will compile to JavaScript.
Oh, God, help us.
Yeah, that's it.
What is it? Just like briefly, you know, imagine that I give a shit. What makes Dart special?
What makes Dart special?
Like, I want like a 30-second brief primer.
It's, I don't know.
Good.
It's
right.
A type safe. It's a language that's, I don't know. I don't really care.
To be fair, having recently discovered some stuff about the history of JavaScript, it's astonishing that it works as well as it does.
Yep.
Considering
written in about a week. So.
Yeah. By like one guy.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
The history of JavaScript is insane. There's a really good Metafilter post about it somewhere. The guy who wrote it came and answered some stuff. The guy who wrote JavaScript came in. Anyway, there you go.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Urban Dictionary!
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Urban Dictionary!
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week. Who am I going to ask? Who's been on the least recently? Mark.
Me.
Your word, God, I hope I haven't done this one already. Your word is cock of the block.
Cock of the block.
Cock of the block.
Oh,
cock
I'd say that's
of the block.
Well, when I was a kid, I was picked on. I was beaten up by friends of my brothers. You got the big, strong guy who's the meanie guy on the block.
I don't like where this story's going.
Oh.
I just think he's the bully. He's the he's the street bully.
You know what I say about the street bully?
Disapproving sheep?
Disapproving sheep. Disapproving small bell as well.
Oh, dear.
Excellent, Mark. Who's next? Robin?
Yeah. Cock of the block.
Cock of the block.
The guy in every neighborhood who gets all the girls and breaks all their hearts. And it's like, why is Mary Jo so sad? Why is she crying all the time? It's because she had an encounter with the cock of the block.
Mm. The cock of the block. I hate that guy. For that guy. For that guy. What a
cock.
Dylan!
My brain is stuck on cock blocking. Yeah. Which is, obviously, as we all know, when one typically male gets in between, effectively, physically, and possibly not, gets in between another male and his proposed conquest. Oh, that's a terrible way to put it.
It is terrible.
So I don't know how or why, but for some reason I think cock of the block is the penis belonging to that person. I don't know why we talk about it, though.
Yeah, excellent.
You're all wrong.
Who's wrong exactly?
You're all wrong.
Oh, everyone? Oh. Everyone?
You're all wrong.
Oh. The one, block. Cock of the block, 2461 up, 4700 down. So not...
Oh, good.
Not a super... people don't necessarily agree with this one. It's from October 8, 2010, so it's quite a new one. The one who struts his stuff the most in a given vicinity. That's
right.
That's it. He's the guy that is, I'm the guy around here. Look at my puffy chest and my whatever trousers. I'm wearing these kind of trousers. I don't know what kind of trousers those
the
are.
Shiny ones.
Shiny ones. They're not to keep my legs dry. They're to keep the moisture in.
How shiny? Are they MC Hammer pants shiny?
Don't hassle shiny pants.
MC Hammer. MC Hammer pants had like sequins on them, but not shiny. I mean, I think we're talking about shiny like PVC that kind of shiny, patent leather maybe even.
Shiny pants on good legs are good.
Velvet pants are better though, eh? He's wearing velvet pants.
Your pants are so shiny, I can see myself in them.
What's the next thing that we're going to do? Let's do What's Your Auntie Been Talking About?
What's your auntie been talking
what's
about?
What's she been telling you all about?
What's your auntie been talking about?
I want to say, without revealing any spoilers, if you're not watching Breaking Bad, the season four finale of which has just played, then you've got to start watching Breaking Bad because it is so amazing. That is one of the best bits of TV I've ever seen. I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to say anything. Well, I'm going to say something.
45
just minutes. not really about the show. I was watching literally with my hand over my mouth and my jaw dropped behind my hand, crossing my arms across my body, basically contorted. And that was just watching on an iPad. If I'd been watching like in a...
How did you hold it?
It was rested on the desk.
Carry on.
Yeah, did you know that there are like physical objects outside your own body?
No, I haven't figured that out yet. I'm also not really big on object permanence.
Dylan's 9 months old. Peekaboo, Dylan. Peekaboo. I see you. Peekaboo.
Hello.
And that was just watching it on a little screen in my office at work on my lunch break, on a TV in a living room, maybe darkened. Wow. That's amazing TV, Breaking Bad. Absolutely amazing. You've got to start at the beginning, though. You really got to start at the beginning.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I listened to another podcast I mentioned before, What the Fuck, a WTF by Mark Maron, and he talked to Bryan Cranston. And I swear, listening to them talk over whatever, the hour and 15 minutes or however long the podcast was, I want to download, get my auntie to send directions. Get my auntie to send me.
She's a very generous woman.
Yeah. Breaking Bad. Actually, I could just go out and buy the DVD. I can actually get it here, so I may as well just do that. I'll do that. But I want to watch Breaking Bad. I have to actually start, and I'll have to start from the beginning, but I've got so much other stuff to do.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Anyone else have a what's your auntie been talking about?
Just some light stuff. New series of QI, which is always just good for it's entertaining, but you also get to feel like a bit of a nerd when you're watching it. You feel like you learn something. And new Nevermind the Buzzcocks just started in the UK.
I didn't know that. I love me some Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
So there you go. Chase that up.
The thing about QI, the gripe I have with it, is that it has made people think Stephen Fry is much smarter than he is.
He has lots of cards with things written on them.
Exactly. There's a whole group of people. What are they called? They've got a name for them. Pixies? Not pixies.
The elves?
The elves, maybe. The QI elves. That might be it.
Yeah.
Who are experts in their fields and do a great deal of research. He doesn't know much. Well, I mean, he's a well-educated and intelligent man, but he's not some friggin' super genius freak. But people think he is, and I think it's because of that show.
Yeah, I watch it, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I haven't watched a lot of QI. And, you know, like, someone will say something, and then he'll pick up and talk about it and clarify it and stuff. So at the very least, he must be doing quite a lot of research on all the answers.
I think that's it. He's really well prepared.
He must. Like, he's not just turning up and reading the cards, because he'd never be able to talk as confidently about the stuff that's in there otherwise.
I think he's getting a bug in his ear. He's got a little screen in front of him, and he's got a lot more detail on those cards than you think.
I'm sure he has got a lot of detail on the cards, but you can't just read them. He'd have to go through them all beforehand and actually be acquainted with it.
Yeah.
He
is an actor, so he does have one of those memories.
I suppose.
Dylan, and as you're well aware, they do edit. I think that the usual record time is something like 3 hours for a one-hour show. So, I mean, there might
those
be lots of bits
so
where he's and then he gets the answer in his ear, and then he very confidently gives the answer.
I'd be surprised if he's getting the answer in his ear, because you'll find out soon enough. If you've ever tried to talk while someone is talking in your ear about something else, or tried to look coherent while someone is talking in your ear about something else, that's a remarkable skill that people don't realise television presenters hold.
Yes, I concur.
I'm in trouble, apparently. Kay Su Yin Koo in the chat room says, "Boo to Morgan for ranty rant at Esther Go in last week's XL show." I don't know who that is or what I did. Who's Esther Go? What did I do? I'm sure that she will post an update about that. Any other what's your auntie been talking about?
My auntie sent me Persons of Interest last week. So the new J.J. Abrams show.
Oh, yeah. I was reading something about that somewhere.
Yeah.
That's right. I was reading something about it somewhere.
Yeah, starring...
Esther Go is a Herald reporter.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, she says that this was about Idealogue. I said, fuck her, and I'm not reading her article anymore, because she described Aucklanders, maybe all Aucklanders, as Jaffers. And I find that just completely useless and divisive. And if you're going to resort to that kind of name calling, then you better have a reputation for saying stuff, you know, as kind of a larrikin, so it's clear that you're joking, or you better just not say that, frankly. It's like calling people hillbillies, I think, so or southern hicks. I don't think it's necessarily appropriate to have a disparaging term for people who live in a particular region. Especially,
so to be fair,
yep.
You weren't disparaging her; you were disparaging her choice of writing in her article.
Yes, exactly.
The article itself.
Exactly. She shouldn't have said Jaffa, and I decided not to continue reading her article because she said Jaffa.
There we go.
Yep. So it was an editorial criticism, perhaps.
Mark, I have a question.
Yep. Yes.
Persons of interest, right? J.J. Yep. Abrams, right? Is this going to be another one of those shows like Lost that I start to watch and then go, oh, for fuck's sake, I can't be bothered anymore?
Possibly. It's a weird show. It's kind of like he's the main character has invented this big computer system that's spying on terrorists and looking for things.
Yep.
And they've got the little side channel where they get an ID number of someone that might be doing something bad. And that is the person of interest.
This is a bit precog kind of crimes.
Yeah,
predicting it's a bit Minority Report.
Yeah, who's predicting who might be doing crime or might be the victim of crime?
Yeah,
yeah. So far, it's looking okay.
The description, and that's actually that reminds me. Now, that's basically the description I've read of it, and it doesn't grab me. But maybe it's really awesome. I don't know.
And my uncle has actually sent me a show as well this week. He's not quite like my auntie, so he's got a bit of a different taste. And he knows I like a bit of a scare.
Yeah.
So he sent me American Horror Story.
Mm.
It's apparently by the same guys who do Glee.
What?
Oh, that's interesting.
Apparently.
But it's like, there's dancing.
There's no dancing, and there's... But, well, unless you call shaking, vibrating, and the distorted faces being ripped out of demons... That was kind of as musical as it got.
Well, that's what happens in Glee.
Gay wheelchair-bound demons.
Yeah.
I've never, who are wearing Adidas tracksuits. I've never actually watched the show. I watched a little bit of it and I couldn't stand it, so I couldn't keep going.
I actually quite like Glee, but don't tell anyone.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Let's open up the toot bag.
I haven't got anything in the toot bag. Did someone want to make something up?
this guy tweeted at us, and it was completely awesome. Actually, no, to be fair, someone, not naming names, don't know if they listen. Do they listen? They listen. Ian Randall complained about the fact that you don't let Ben talk, and it's because he's not here.
Today it's because he's not here.
Ben is on the show this week. We haven't let him talk.
Yeah. Was that Ben? No, shut up.
He's muted. Shut up, Ben. listen, if you saw and heard the back channel stuff where I try and get him to put more stories in, you would never criticize me for trying to silence him.
Ben is good. Someone in the chat room has actually pointed out that Ben is a fantastic foil for Morgan. The important thing to consider about Morgan is that Morgan is the big mouth dickhead from the internet. He talks over everyone. He's a big mouth dickhead, but that's all right because he says so at the beginning of the show.
That's right.
And if you don't like it, don't listen.
No. If you don't like it, I'll change.
Yeah, Ben's busy. Ben can stand up for himself. He's a big boy.
as has been just pointed out in the chat room, Nathaniel says, Ben equals parent, Morgan equals child. that is pretty accurate. I need someone to hold me back because I tell you what.
Who the fuck would give child a giant can of monster?
No more monster, Morgan.
I haven't finished the can yet this week, but it is on an empty stomach. Oh, boy. yum.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
It wasn't even on that back.
Oh, that's right. Some
do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK? Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia? Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet? Maybe because your government has recently passed stupid, dangerous, draconian laws. Tell them to mind their own business while you mind your own. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up. It's surprisingly inexpensive.
That'd be better if we did it like an infomercial. Okay. So do you want to read it again?
Yeah.
You know, like those crazy exercise infomercial. You read it again.
Do you want me to pause after each of those?
Pause after each question.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Yes, I do.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Do you just, sign me up.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet? Maybe because your government has recently passed stupid, dangerous, draconian laws?
Uh-huh.
Tell them to mind their own business. Well, you mind your own. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
But how much is it?
It's surprisingly inexpensive.
There we go.
That was much better. I've got to change that line because your government has recently passed stupid, dangerous, draconian laws.
Have been not really, are they?
Well, it's not recent anymore.
No.
Nor is it particularly dangerous.
Well, stupid, not so far. Not so far. But we'll see. I think silencing members of our society because they do pretty insignificant things, possibly, is an overreaction. Corrections. I've even got a thing for this.
Corrections.
Now, last week we had the corned beef freestyle. Three times, or was it four? And the total running time of the corned beef freestyle added up to something like 30 minutes in total. I apologize for that. The corned beef freestyle should have been much longer.
Yeah, it really should have. I would like to see an extended club mix, just like a banging dance floor hit.
Banging
gets people out on the floor. Good vibes, probably. At least an hour.
You guys can stop protecting me. The problem was it was my job to write the lyrics, and I just skimped. I did it at the last minute. I didn't write enough.
You've been really feeling it, so I'll forgive you for that.
My fault.
Layton suggests we have a dubstep mix.
Someone posted something about dubstep on Facebook. I don't actually know what.
It is the most wonderful thing.
Dubstep is.
You don't want to know what dubstep is.
Listen I don't
to an
actually.
Ask a dubstep songs. Just Google it. Listen to some, and then eventually you'll start to hear the familiar. It's sort of chopped up beats and all a bit sort of blah.
But didn't that exist before and have another name or something?
It's like industrial.
But drum and bass. I mean, it's the angry young man genre of the 2010s.
What I did see, actually, I'll send a link to Morgan. I'll put it in the chat room. Did you see Matt Gibbs' dubstep video on YouTube?
I don't even I don't even care enough to even want to think about that.
Okay then.
I don't know. It's just become one of those dad genres.
Excellent.
You shut up. Dubstep's awesome when it's good. I mean, there's a lot of shit dubstep, but some of it is just, it just makes me so, it's like, it gets right inside and it's like, this is the music I've always wanted.
It's angry dude music.
No, it's not angry. No way is it angry. There's something incredibly energy. Expressive about it.
Energy.
Like, definitely energy, but not. I wouldn't say angry.
It's like drum and bass, that kind of
music. I mean, when you look at the comments on YouTube clips of dubstep bits, people aren't like, that made me so angry. They say things like, I was so afraid when the drop came and then my whole life changed. Now I live in a swamp.
I'm a mother of three, and every time I listen to this song, I feel like breaking things.
Hey. Oh, something's been left on. What's that?
There you go. Look, I put a thing on the internet. Oh, can you hear that?
Go on. I can't hear it.
I put a thing on the chat rooms. It's Matt Gibb, television's Matt Gibb created a cute video about Ross Geller having invented dubstep. I quite like that. So there you go. Pardon me.
Yeah, sorry. I need to. I can't really. A dubstep has very specific sounds, and I think it would require some preparation. I could probably fake a certain tone from it. Let's see. Let's see what we can do in the overflow. Last thoughts, sort of. We've got a whole minute. Don't need to be too quick.
You know, last time you said last thoughts, I tried to quickly Google one of those. You know, who's that stupid chat show guy with all the fights?
Simon Barnett?
No, fights on his show.
Mark DiCarlo.
American guy, yes. fights on his
show. He was a mayor of a town?
Yeah, was he? I don't know.
Is it Jew?
Everyone goes on his, yeah, probably. He's on the television.
He had a bald security guy?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about.
Springer, Jerry Springer. I always wanted to go I wanted to go and find one of his final thoughts because he used to read these wonderful final thoughts, but I couldn't find any text of one. So, and I haven't researched it this time, so fuck it.
Well, let's see what Google has to say. Last thoughts. Oh, I don't have an I'm feeling lucky button. If only I had...
Four.
Oh, no, none of these are in yours. Please rate and review the show on iTunes.
Put you off track. Everyone stay on track and never pull the brakes because you want to reach the shop before the ice cream melts.
You're listening to the weekly
Thank you
show
for listening.
On sorry.
We'll be doing another flow right away. Right, send Twitter at us.
Tune in right now for the extra large extended edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to the weekly show.